Good morning at 9:09. I'm Larry Long. It is 71, and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, located at the corner of Milliman 12th Street. And now, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Waddell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Beautiful, thank you.
It is. It's nice.
I love it.
Nice to get a little break from that humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Sun today? A little rain combination.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not too bad out, so maybe a good day to get out in the yard.
I bet you've probably taken some landscaping projects, haven't you? would ordinarily go to the other guys. It's so nice to work outside. I think I'll handle this one.
No problem. Right. Yeah, there's been a lot, Larry. We can talk about those later. So, hey, hi, and good morning, everybody. It's a great day to be alive. God gave me breath, and like my my partner said yesterday, Jim, in the when he's punching in, hey, I'm still vertical. So, you know what? Appreciate being part of your day on 590 WKZO. And you could be a part of our day all day at Waddell's. So to continue our summer seminar series includes today leaf casting at 10 o'clock. Ornate leaf casting, build your own bird bath, feeder or garden decoration, and bring a leaf up to 15 inch, and we'll provide the funds. So, and then at 11:15 today, designing your outdoor living space, and it's just learning how to create the right plants, the right entertainment area, and maybe water features all tied in one. So we'd love to have you come join us. There is still time to sign up. You could call 345-1195 at Waddell's to reserve your spot. So last Saturday, when I got to the radio show here, I went through probably 10 or 15 stoplights that didn't have any power. And just driving here, not knowing the extent of the storm. But afterwards, I trying to drive back, and a lot of the traffic was being rerouted, and talking to one of our managers that was in the Millwood neighborhood. But just couldn't get in there to Waddell's that day. She was actually trapped. There's no way she could get in or out of the little community. So I'm just hoping everybody that's listening this morning has had power restored and has actually had time to clean up after one powerful storm. I went over to the Millwood neighborhood, like I said, to help one of our managers with some of the trees, and could hardly drive down the road. The road was so strewn with uprooted trees, huge chunks of silver maple, caution flags on low-lying wires. I really feel for everybody there. 2 years ago, when that big ice storm happened in, I'm guessing, December-ish, it took out full trees in our yard and knocked out power for 8 days. So I feel for you. Storms are very inconvenient, aren't they? They come when they are least expected. They take down trees that are weak or have that have been damaged for years, and that yet the tree has grown around that damaged area and turned into a weak point that you didn't even know about. You buy the house, you buy the tree, you buy the damage. So a storm kind of cleanses the landscaping a little bit. Wow, you're saying I lost a whole bunch of trees. How does that cleansing? But you know what? It takes out the old and making way for the new. So if you were hit by the storm, now maybe is the time to check on your trees and shrubs for damage. Torn limbs are a great place to collect moisture and insects, which can result in further damage. You know, there is a debate on whether you should be using pruning paint or wound dressing compared to leaving it open. And I know some of the universities are saying back and forth, leave that plant open. But I'll tell you, just recently I had a major cut on my leg. We were taking down a graduation tent and lifted up one of the sides, and one of the 5-pound, 3-pound pipes just rolled off, hit the bottom of my leg. Well, that pipe just rolled and cut that skin wide open down that and that bottom of the foot. Within a minute, the shoe was filled with blood, and having no chance to clean it off, running inside and trying to clean it up the best we could. For a few days, that wound was wide open, trying to get it to air out, putting socks and boots and working at Waddell's and all the dirt and mud and everything, having a challenge to get that to heal up. So the wife bought full-size skin patches that were like 3 to 4 inches across, so I could put two or three of those on at once. Boy, within a couple, 2 or 3 days, that wound started to heal right up. The tree's the same way. Think of it this way. Think of all the issues, the bugs, the disease that Waddell's and Over the Garden Fence talks about all over the years. Don't you want to prevent that a little bit? I'm thinking the wounds have a better chance to heal with a Band-Aid or tree pruning, tree paint, tree wound dressing. It's just like a Band-Aid with my citration. Think of it that way. It's cleaned up and healed up. And actually, my leg, yes, I got a big, big scar, but it's taken care of. Do the same way. If there is a wound, make sure that you at least evaluate it. Some limbs that have been torn or ripped apart, leaving big gaping holes in the trunk. Tree wound dressing is a tar. It's applied with a putty knife. It's not a spray-on like a paint. You actually fill the cavity or the wound on the tree. If the limb is damaged or split or torn, but it's not ripped off, and you're trying to save it, it's actually a lot of work, but it actually can be done. So if you have a, say, a treasured tree, and you want to try to keep that branch, say, like a dogwood or a Japanese maple, that's, you know, a lot more crucial than a maple tree or an oak, take that branch that has split but not torn and pull the split apart. Access the damage. How much of that branch is left over onto that tree and holding up? Clean up the wound that has been created. Try to put a fresh skin and clean it up, whether that wound is a week old or a month old or a year old. Open that up and take a wire brush or a screwdriver and clean out all the old. Get fresh wood to show up. Pull the split apart and apply tree wound dressing with a putty knife. It's small, medium, and large cans. You don't have to buy a whole bunch, but that way you can pull the split back together and then use tree wrap around the split to keep it clean, or like those big skin Band-Aids. Now, if it's a really big split and the branch alone can't hold itself up, I'd suggest cabling or securing the weak or split branch for support. And I've seen many times where people use wire and rope and just cut right into the tree trunk. And I know we suggest like a hose chunk or some type of banding that won't dig into and gouge up the tree trunk. So after that has all been done, I'd suggest taking off the tree wrap after about 60 days to let that wound get open and breathe after that tree wound dressing has been healed up or hardened up. So a lot of damage of trees left. There's a lot of torn, tattered foliage that has new, fresh wounds all over the tree. Figure a lot of tree branches have wind-whipped and have torn themselves. Probably a feeding and spray program would be a great idea for the value of the tree. So Larry, when we come back, let's talk about evaluations of the trees and maybe some things that might you want to replace as you start looking at that new area in the yard. So if you want, give us a call. We're happy to talk to you maybe about that new area where that tree fell out. Maybe there's a, you know, Larry, maybe there's a shady spot that's turned sunny.
Sure. Let us hear from you this morning, 382-4280. Or if you're outside the Kalamazoo area, there's a toll-free number, 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. We'll be right back on 590 WKZO. It is 918.
If you've been wanting more shade in your landscape but just haven't had the time to plant the trees, Waddell's has a deal for you. Come in this week, pick out a tree, and Waddell's experts will deliver and plant it for you at huge savings. How about a flowering pear tree with its gorgeous blooms in the spring? A sugar maple with its brilliant autumn leaf colors? A crab apple that will provide fruit for the birds? Or an oak for cooling shade in the summer? Waddell's Michigan Certified Nursery Specialist will be happy to help you pick the right trees for your landscape. Then they'll deliver and plant them when it's convenient for you. The planting sale includes delivery in the Kalamazoo Portage area, the compost, and the labor to plant it. Trees in 15 to 20 gallon size pots can be planted for just $29.99. Trees in 25 to 45 gallon pots can be planted for just $49.99. And extra large bald and burlap trees can be planted for just $99.99. You can do something for the environment while you enjoy the shade in summer and the beautiful colors each fall when you plant hardy Waddell grown trees from Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
Welcome back to Over the Garden Fence. That's right, your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell, is on hand to answer your questions. Again, the number is 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. Once again, here's Andy.
Hey, and thank you, Larry. And, you know, Larry, I want to comment on the ad we just had, and I don't always try to make an advertisement, but we're trying to provide, with this storm that we've had, a $29, $49, and $99 planting package. You buy the tree, we'll come out and install it for you. And a lot of times have a, you know, they don't have a truck anymore, or the truck, Larry, a lot of times we have trucks that pull into Waddell's and they have a brand new bed liner. And in the bed liner is carpet. And then they want us to put paper and plastic on top of the carpet. A lot of times people don't want to have that tree in the back of their truck. So we try to do the help for you. So we could go ahead and take a call
Call. We've got Mark in Otsego. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing good.
Yeah. How can I be of help up in Otsego?
Well, I've got a question for you about a willow tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tag said it was like a golden willow tree or something like that.
Okay.
Okay, my daughter planted it out in our little camping area.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going out there every day watering it. And I did use the root stimulator that I purchased at your place.
Sure.
Not too long ago.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, now it's kind of lost most of its leaves. They turn yellow, and they lost the leaves there.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if it's lacking something, or if we did something wrong.
Well,
if it's in shock, because I know when you plant something like that, it's usually in shock for a little while.
It is. Well, Mark, those are all good questions. So, number one, willow and heat go hand in hand. They will tolerate all kinds of heat, but once established, Mark, I think a lot of times that plants get settled in and you're going ahead and watering and you're keeping up on the water, but then that plant goes and we hit that 90, 95, 99 degree heat, and a lot of times willow is some of the first to drop. Now, it's not probably, you've not lost the tree, Mark, so I would suggest keeping up on your watering. A lot of times with the dewy, wet mornings we've been having too, Mark, you'll see a lot of willow tend to drop its leaves, get a little powdery mildew or a little fungus on it, and willow tend to drop fairly easy. The plus is willows are probably one of the easiest to grow. So in your camping spot, go ahead and either 5-gallon buckets or take a hose back there and keep up on the watering. And the next time you're back there, Mark, just to reassure yourself, take your fingernail and scratch the bark on those branches. Chances are you'll find nice, pliable green wood, or the plant has dropped just because it feels a little dormant, and it went because of the heat, it went a little dormant in the summertime. Chances are it comes back and does fine for you. Now, can I ask a couple questions? Is there mulch around it? Just make sure that no rabbits or damage deer or any mower gets around the base of the tree.
Okay. No, I haven't done that yet. But, what do you suggest? Put a little fence around it or something?
Yep, I would, and especially if it's out of the yard a ways. That way the willow is sweet wood, and that way there's no rabbits that nibble on it. And keep 3 to 5 inches of mulch around the base of it. But willow, if it drops, go ahead, just like I said, just to reassure yourself, scratch the bark, but go ahead and look at those branches. Chances are the little bud unions all on those branches that are going to be fine. So keep up on the water. The plant will need leaves, Mark. That's what I'm getting at. So if it drops this early, it's going to run probably leaf back out. So if you keep up on the moisture, it'll leaf out probably within the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Okay, I've been watering it 3 to 4 gallons a day. Is that enough?
That's enough. That's plenty. That's plenty. And okay. I bet you see that because of the heat and because of some of the dewy mornings, you probably just normal leaf drop on a willow, which I would not be overly concerned with. My key thing is if you keep up on the moisture and make sure, like a little mulch or a little fence and maybe a little tree wrapped this fall, around Thanksgiving time, I bet that willow is going to be a great little tree around the campsite.
Okay, what kind of mulch should I use on that? What's a good suggestion?
You know what? I love cedar mulch. I like hardwood, and I like some of the other barks that you might find at a gas station, but cedar mulch tends to repel your insects. It is not immune to insects, but if you see like hope chests and cedar closets made from that wood, that's the idea. And if you can get that cedar mulch around it, I like not to do the volcano effect mark up around the trunk of the tree, but I like to go around the root structure 4 or 5 inches and then bowl down to the trunk so the trunk is never buried in mulch.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it's kind of like you just make a ring around it.
You got it. You got it. That way your roots are cool, but the trunk is dry.
Okay. Now, another question I had was, is that I know willow trees take a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of planted it on a hilly spot, kind of gravelly spot.
Yep. So that would be, if you think you can keep up on the water in that gravel situation, go ahead and keep it there. Willow will probably tolerate that. There are some willow that grow up on the sand dunes at Lake Michigan, and they just keep rooting and rooting and rooting. But, Mark, that gravel and sand, you're going to have to keep moist. That's why that 3 to 4 gallons might be sufficient and might not be sufficient. So mulch is going to keep the ground a little cooler and keep that moisture in a little longer. So once that gets established in that sand and gravel, you still should be okay.
Okay. About how long before I won't have to water anymore? 2 years or?
Yeah, I'd say 2 to 3 years to get things established. And then even on big, big maples in my yard right now, I have not watered recently because of the rains. But like last summer, I've been keeping up on my water to make sure I don't want to lose the tree. So once things get established, you can always hit water a couple, 2 or 3 times a year. That would surely help it just to get it established if it's off the beaten path, like you said, out in your campsite.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark, for the call on the willow. Oh, Larry, we got
interesting. I love willow trees.
You know
they
what?
Are so beautiful.
And Winnie the Pooh used to have.
Oh, sure.
You know, Mother Willow. It was kind of the. It was the cool little tree in the movies and stuff.
It really
and so,
is.
Somebody say, "Oh, willow, it's all messy," but like Mark says, it's awesome for a little campsite.
Oh yeah.
And the branches arch over, and then. I think willow is great because it tells you, spring's coming. It's one of the first ones, Larry, that leaves out yellow in the spring. You know, you see the little flowers coming on in late March, early April. It's kind of a sign that it's showing up. So other plants, other problems, if we have, just like on willows, we can go to the phone and talk about them.
You bet. And we have Mary in Lawton, looks like. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
Just fine, thank you, Mr. Waddell. Well, after 3 tries, I'm finally getting Brussels sprouts.
All right.
And 3 years in a row. My question is, how big should they be before I start picking them?
You know, Mary, you ever buy Brussels sprouts in the store?
I have.
Big, big old ones are kind of bitter, aren't they?
Right.
Okay? Think of it like beans. I always pick beans when they're small, and somebody will say, why are you picking those beans? They're so small. Well, you guess what? They're the most tender and the sweetest.
You're right.
Brussels sprouts, you could start picking them when they're like the size of a quarter. Are you going to, you know, probably get more oomph or more harvest if you wait a little longer? Sure. But anywhere from a quarter to golf ball size probably is what I would pick. Right now they're probably, you know, penny to nickel size. You can always pick some off and have a little bit before the majority gets going on them.
Are you supposed to do anything with those bottom leaves? Do I start picking from the bottom?
I would. Mary, what you want to do is those bottom leaves are starting to turn a little yellow on you.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's just the understory. The top of the plant, it's an annual. It's going to die. You know, it'll die next spring like we talked about before. It'll go through the winter and then die next spring. But all that old foliage, go ahead and clean it off. If nothing else, it's just kind of holding on to any fungus or disease that could get onto that plant. So go ahead and get rid of it. It is shading the roots for a little benefit, but in the garden, you're watering anyways.
Now, I am noticing on some of my top leaves, there are some little, like, holes, like maybe bites from an insect or something.
Mm-hmm. You could do, like, a natural guard, or you could do, which is a spray that you could put on just a couple days before harvest. You don't have to put on something that is necessarily going to be detrimental to the plant. You could do fruit and ornamental vegetable spray that you could go on there and could rid that. You might even try 7 on that plant too, just to do a little dusting on that. So 7, I think it's 2 days before harvest that you can eat. So something like that, whether it be leaf hopper, sometimes that's called hole shot, just where you have little dots that are little holes in through the leaf itself.
Right.
Yeah. And some of that, Mary, when you take off the Brussels sprout, I usually like at the store, I peel that top outer crust. It's almost like a lettuce head. I pull the first leaf off, and it kind of leaves or exposes the good part of the Brussels sprout.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I'm real excited about trying these.
So, Mary, did you do some feeding on them?
I did.
Yes. Okay. And would you
it was a granule fertilizer that I put on them.
There you go. But see, so you're getting a little more, got an earlier start, and that way you get a little food, you get a little more oomph on them, and that way you get a little better harvest earlier in the season.
Yeah, I used some Purple 19.
Oh, nice.
On it.
Nice. Well, Mary, I'm glad on the Brussels sprouts finally after 3rd time. So, hey, thanks for calling in from Lawton.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Mary. Now we have Ed in Portage. Good morning.
Hey, Ed, how are you?
Good morning, Andy. Comment about the willows. We talked to you a couple years ago about we had a area in our backyard where it was kind of moist, and you talked about a curly willow. It has just really took care of the moisture problem, and it's growing beautifully, and we control the size. So
nice.
That was very successful.
Well, you know what? And I think it's called Scarlet Curls Willow is what you got?
Yeah.
And, Ed, it's pulling moisture in, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
It is.
We don't have that problem anymore. But I called about peas and beans. When can I start a second crop of edible pod peas?
Today.
Today? Okay.
Yep. You know what? I looked at the beans the other night. They're flourishing. I looked at the peas 2 feet away, and they were about spent.
Well, my peas are done. I pulled them out. I've got a lot of them, but I pulled them out earlier, and I was waiting. I didn't know how long to wait.
Yeah, I think on edible peas, they're in that 60 to 70-day harvest time. So
now, should I put some fertilizer in there first or not?
I would. Put on just something to get them going, like a Spoma garden plant tone, something to just get them established.
Okay.
And now that the ground's warm, they should germinate really quick.
Okay, now what about another crop of beans? Can I do that too yet, or is it too late for that?
You know what? You'd be pushing it, but, Ed, you might as well try.
Yeah.
You know what? I know a lot of...
My wife will call them gambler beans. We'll see what happens.
That's right. You know, a lot of farmers, they're taking off that straw and the wheat, and...
Yep.
One guy is already plowing under, and they're hurrying up, and I can tell they're trying to get a fall crop in.
Okay.
And so the same thing here. You might as well give it a shot, and you might not get a full harvest, but you'll still get some harvest in September, October that way.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Ed, thanks for the call on the willow.
Take care.
You bet.
Bye.
Okay, very good calls this morning. If you have a question for Andy, let us hear from you at 382-4280 or toll-free 877-382-4280.
You bet. Well, we were out in the garden the other night, and like Ed said, I was just looking at those peas and beans, and the beans are starting to come on. The peas are just about spent, and I turned around, Larry, and there was a cute little rabbit.
Oh.
And I looked at
they're not always so cute.
No, in the garden it was kind of disappointing. And the wife says, "Hey, there's something over in the weeds." I'm like, "I know what's over in the weeds there." And so we look, and sure enough, the next crop of some of the stuff had all been mowed off. And though I like rabbits, somebody said the other day, Larry, rabbit looks really good next to red skin potatoes and carrots. But some people, I like the furry little guys, so we have
I know.
We have a heart traps, Larry. and I'm trying to be nice about this, but you might as well trap the little guys instead of them eating everything that you plant. So,
no, I agree.
So, have a heart. Yeah, you might as well get rid of that rabbit instead of them, or go ahead with some Repellex or something that you guys are going to do. Because here we are planting all the veggies in there. I'm almost like a feed bag for them.
So. I know it. Grace in Portage. Good morning.
Hey, Grace.
Good morning, Andy.
How's your day?
Good. Thank you. Beautiful day.
Yeah.
I was listening to the question about the willow, and maybe the answer is the same for me. I have a dogwood tree, but it's not new. It's an established tree. It's probably about 8 years old, and it was so beautiful. And then all of a sudden, that dry spell, it's like fall. The leaves are off, and it has like dark black spots on it.
Yeah.
And but it still has a lot of leaves, and I just wonder, is there anything I should do, or is it just because of the heat?
It is a little bit, Grace. What happens here, and willow and dogwood are having some reactions, but it is different. The dogwood has a bigger leaf, and the canopy tends to shade itself, so a lot of times those leaves don't dry out on a dewy morning till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So a lot of times that tree has moisture on its foliage for half the day, and when it's a dewy, humid morning, you're going to get something like anthracnose very easy, or even a small little amounts of leaf spot on that dogwood. Now, Grace, is that dogwood, you said, is older, but is it a size that you could still spray and keep under control?
I probably could still spray it, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There is a item that we have been working with. It is not necessarily a spray. We do use the Fertilome systemic fungicide, and that would take care of dogwood issues right away. And I will say that there is newer varieties of dogwood, Grace, that are a little more resistant to anthracnose and canker, but it or leaf spot. There is also an item called Agrifos. It is a granular product that we have found that is very inexpensive, Grace, that would do wonders on a dogwood as far as the foliage. And it is a systemic that's put onto the plant, and it drinks up into the plant instead of spraying on it. But
can I still put that on now, or is it too late?
You know what? I would. Somebody's going to say, no, it's too late because those leaves are mature. But you know what? Because of this moisture, everybody's going to get a second flush of growth. There's plenty of moisture in the ground. Leaves are going to be leafing out a second flush, and I would say I'd like to prevent it.
Could you spell that for me? Zach?
Yep. It's AGRIFOS, broad spectrum fungicide. And the idea, I think a little packet, we used it for our rhododendron the other day at Waddell's. And Grace, I'm concerned that we're going to too much dew and too much moisture on some of the plants that we irrigate at night. It was $10.99, and it would do 200 plants. So we've kind of figured out it was only like 20 or 30 cents a plant to take care of this fungus control. So for a tree, you're only talking $1 or $2 to take care of a fungus on that. Now, the spray would be more immediate and would help out on that leaf structure right now. But
I should not use both?
It's kind of funny because fungus does have resistance, and it'll build resistance. So I would suggest using both. And it's just like red thread in your yard. A lot of times you'll put on a Scott's Long Fungus Control and it won't work. You got to use something else because it'll build resistance. So back to the dogwood, I want to make sure that you do a feeding program in October. Make sure the plant goes through the winter with some good moisture in the ground. Mulching the plant well. And again, that broad spectrum or the Agrifos would help a lot. And then that varieties I'm telling you about that don't get that is called Appalachian Series. There's a Cherokee and an Appalachian Series, Grace, that is absolutely stunning. I was looking at one yesterday, and the foliage is clean. It doesn't have a leaf spot, hardly one on it. It's just the two different varieties that are starting to be hybridized for problems that we have with sometimes that leaf spot problem.
Okay, great. I'll be out.
Okay, Grace, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Appreciate the calls this morning. If you have a question for Andy, we've got a few minutes left. 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. We'll be right back.
The unusual weather has brought on an array of lawn diseases in southwest Michigan. Lawns can be wiped out fast this time of year by fungus diseases like dollar spot, brown patch, fusarium blight, and red thread. Scott's Lawn Fungus Control from Waddell's Garden Center is the surest way to take care of the most common lawn diseases, including those toughies that cause brown spots in your lawn in the summertime. It's easy to use, too. There's nothing to mix or measure. Just pour it in a Scott spreader and apply it to the lawn. Now's the time when fungus diseases are starting to hit, but you can protect your lawn with Scott's Lawn Fungus Control. On sale this week at Waddell's for just $15.88 for the bag that covers 5,000 square feet. Another way to help your lawn is to make sure it has its summer meal. Now's the time to apply your Scott's Step 3 or Scott's Super Turf Builder lawn food. If you've got questions about what your lawn needs, the lawn pros at Waddell's would be glad to help diagnose it. Just bring in a 6x6-inch sod sample and they'll prescribe what you need to give your lawn that winning look. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman 12th Street.
WKZO.com, AccuWeather Forecast.
We'll have times of clouds and sunshine today, along with a couple of showers and thunderstorms around. Cooler, high 70. Partly cloudy tonight with a shower in spots, low 53. Times of clouds and sunshine tomorrow with a few showers, high 66. Monday, pleasant, with times of clouds and sunshine and high of 73 degrees. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Mike Lissini.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
At 9:40, welcome back to Over the Garden Fence. Once again, here's your host, Andy Waddell.
Well, Larry, with the storm that we've had, we've all been talking about today with the tree loss, it is also bringing up a point with drainage. People are having a lot of excess moisture, and they start seeing where, you know what, I got a leak in the basement. I've got a spot in the yard that's just soaking wet. Larry, I was at a church yesterday, and they had mentioned that their lawnmowers were getting stuck in the yard. It's that wet in certain spots. And so some people irrigate way too much. And so a lot of times there is issues with that excess water that you don't usually see on a dry summer. What we decided at this church is we are going to make a rain garden. We fought it. Why fight this issue at this spot? I've looked and these sidewalks were coated with iron where the water is just pouring out of the irrigation over the sidewalk and into the parking lot. There was a stained area and the sidewalks were almost like a dam. It was just so much excess water. And then they get the rains and there was, I think, 9 or 14 dead trees all drowning. And guess what? It's a memorial garden. Nothing worse than having dead trees in a memorial garden. So people were in question on what was happening. Well, first thing I looked at was every tree was weed whipped to death. Number two is my feet were walking around the lawn. Water was pouring up over my boots. We hadn't rained in days. And so then when she says, well, let's go over and look at the wet area, I couldn't even walk through it, Larry. It was so moist with the amount of excess moisture. So maybe a French drain, putting in an area where you could do some sock perforated 4-inch pipe with some river rock that is wrapped in weed barrier for a column or an escape for some water. And then over the top of that, maybe you need to create like a little rain garden. Why fight it anymore if you know you've got a water issue? One person, Larry, said, well, in my wet area in my yard, I'm just going to put in an ornamental pond. Well, they put in the pond, and all the water pushed the pond right up and out. And so yeah. You got to pick your right spot.
Right.
So just remember, Larry, I know we got a few minutes, and I had a journal this morning of some items, too. So I just know with the volume of water and issue that we've had, maybe there's some pictures or some shots that you need to maybe come down and show us. Maybe we can walk and talk. So some ideas. And stop into Waddell's again today. 11:15 is designing your outdoor living spaces. And 10 o'clock today is the ornate leaf casting. We'd love to have you over. Not enough time for the journal today, but stop in. There's lots of stuff that our diagnostic team could help you with. People were bringing Larry samples of trees the other day on what was a problem. They brought in one leaf. So bring in a sample good enough so our team can identify.
To work with, yeah.
If you have a lawn problem, don't bring in one blade. Bring in a shoebox full so we can see and we can identify it and give it right back to you so you can put it down in. So thanks for all the callers today. And Larry, thanks for And see you guys all next week.
Okay. Thanks so much, Andy. Join us again next Saturday morning for Over the Garden Fence, brought to you by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, corner of Milliman 12th Street. And join us again next week. Coming up next, it's your financial planner with Ron Weiser on 590 WKZO. It is 9:45 and 7:1.